But just, Lord, come on me this morning. Just felt like we needed to pray first before we read. And, you know, I think sometimes we ain't careful, we'll get in a where we think certain things has to be done a certain way, but really we just need to do it the way the Lord wants us to do it. Amen? And so He knows what we need today, and so let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You once again, thanking You, Lord, for this day, and Lord, for the good singing. We thank You, Lord, for a good choir, and most of all, we're thankful for the good spirit, Lord, we've been able to feel since coming into this place. Thank You, Lord, for the members of Welcome Grove Baptist Church. We thank You, Lord, for the visitors, Lord, that You've sent here today. I pray, God, that You'd help us, Lord, as we begin to read Your Word. Sometimes we'll pray afterwards and we'll ask that You bless the reading of Your Word. Lord, we know that Your Word's already blessed. And Lord, You just seem like today, Lord, You laid it on our heart that we would ask You for help as we begin to read the Word of God. Lord, that others, Lord, may hear. Lord, it pricked their hearts. Lord, for the Paul said, is to preach, just to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season. Lord, as we mentioned in Sunday school, and certainly, Lord, it's Your word that draws, and Lord, it's Your word that saves, and it's Your word that we live by. And I'm thankful, Lord, You give us Your word. And I pray, God, Lord, today You'd be with Brother Troy, Brother EJ, and Brother Randy as they're off preaching. I pray, God, You'd be with the other preachers, Lord, around this area. Lord, just begin fixing to stand to preach Your word. Lord, we'd hear the good news of someone being saved or, Lord, someone coming back to the fold and repenting and drawing closer to You. Lord, we ask You'd move here at Welcome Grove. Lord, You'd touch hearts in a special way. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done the last several weeks. Lord, what we've seen and different ones come to the altar. But Lord, this is a different service. Lord, we're looking for a new, fresh touch and a moving, Lord, here today. I pray, Lord, if anyone feels that touch, Lord, at any time, they'd feel at liberty to come and pray, member or visitor alike. For, Lord, the reason we've come, Lord, hopefully is to draw closer to You before we left. Lord, if we can leave here today saying we're closer to You when we left than we was when we come, then we can say we've been to church. Lord, we've went to meeting. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, here today, we'll do our best to bow and worthy head. Give You the praise and the honor and the glory, Lord, for everything that You've done and that You're going to do. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we ask all these things. Amen. If you would, stand for the reading of God's word. I want to start reading at verse 11. Of 1 Corinthians. The Bible said, "For it hath not been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I believe that'd be all that we read today. You'll notice here in 1 Corinthians, in verse 11, the Bible said that Paul was writing a letter to the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians here is what it was titled. And he had heard some things that would come back to him about them having trouble in the house of Chloe. Now, I believe that every house, we'll be honest with ourselves, every once in a while has some trouble. But this wasn't what Paul was talking about. He was talking about they was gathering together to have church down at Chloe's house and to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord. And as people would come together, if you think about this in the early church, they didn't have pastors, Brother D.B., and so they'd begin to come together in somebody's house and somebody'd say, "I was baptized last week by Brother Matt. Mallory down there on the east side of the shore. And somebody else might say, well, Brother D.B. baptized me. And somebody might say, well, John the Baptist baptized me down at the River Jordan. And the Bible said here that there was contentions. Paul had heard about it. It wasn't just something that was going on in the house, but it had gotten outside the house and it began to travel. And let me say this today. If a church, and I ain't sensed this, this is what the Lord laid on our heart. If a church is not careful and has divisions or is divided within a house, it'll get on the outside and certainly it'll spread. And people will hear about contentions going on. And Paul wasn't even here, but the Bible said he had heard how they was having contentions down there. And so he wrote a letter trying to help them. You know, I believe it's our duty to help one another. A lot of times, as a weak amen, I hope if I need help, somebody help me. Can I get an amen there? Amen. It ain't none of my business what goes on down at Bethlehem, Brother Tommy. That's what some would say. If I hear something's going on down there, I'm not supposed to get in my car and run down there, Brother Mallet. But if I hear there's tensions going on and they didn't have a pastor, at least to the most I should be praying and maybe even write a letter or something like Paul did, saying, I've been hearing that y'all been having some trouble and these things ought not so to be at the house of the Lord. You know what should go on here? We should be worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord, and souls should be saved, and that will not happen when there's contention. Amen. Amen. And so Paul wrote a letter. You know what's amazing to me? It takes more effort to write a letter a lot of times than it does just to call somebody on the phone. Paul would get his paper out and his pen, and he'd write a letter. If y'all are like me, and I don't believe this happened to Paul, because the Bible said he was moved upon by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't mess up. But I know many a time I've been beginning to write a letter, Brother Nick, and I'll say, to whom it may concern. And that didn't sound right. To whom this letter lands into. That don't sound right. Man, what do you think I should say? And it takes a lot of thought and effort when you're writing a letter. I believe Paul was concerned enough to sit down and write a letter to Chloe's house there, to the church of Corinth, not only because he loved them, but they was his brothers and sisters in Christ, and he was concerned about what that's going through. Amen. I want to say this morning that your pastor's concerned about things that you're going through. Amen. And it shouldn't just be your preacher. You ought to be concerned about one another, what one another's going through also. The Bible said here, he said, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? This is not the part I want to preach on, but I just want to just show you here where somebody said, yeah, it was Paul. It baptized me. Somebody said, well, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Apollos, you know. I've been traveling with Apollos. Well, I've been over here with Paul. I can almost hear him. I've been traveling the Apostle Paul. Paul's the one that baptized me. And it's been bothering me for a while. Brother Mallet, the longer you preach and the more people you baptize, you can't remember everybody. I've tried to, but I'll go back and I'll remember certain ones or certain things at certain buildings. But then thank God, the Lord showed me this this week. And Paul's, he began to say that he had baptized Crispus and Gaius, unless any should say I'd baptized in my own name. He said, I baptized also the house of Stephanus, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. All Paul was saying was, I remember a few people I baptized, but if there's anybody else besides that, I can't remember it. But God didn't send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel of the cross. Amen. And that's what's most important. It's not baptism, but preaching of the cross. Amen. I begin to think here in this scripture where the Bible said that Paul, he began to say this, listen to these two verses, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. And I want to stop right there for a minute. Yes, I want people to think that I'm wise. Yes, I want people to understand what I'm preaching. But when we're concerned more about how good we sound and how well it's accepted and how much we know and how smart we are and how much we understand, and we forget that basics, that Jesus died on a cross and was crucified and buried and rose again. Amen. That's enough for somebody to get saved and born again and go to heaven when you die. Amen. You might not understand the book of Revelation. Amen. You might not understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You might not really understand the workings of Apollos or Paul or Barnabas. But if you understand the cross, you know enough to get saved. That's what's good this morning. Paul was a very intelligent man. He could have astounded people with his wisdom. One place he said this, he said, we didn't come preaching with men's wisdom or with enticing words. That's sort of saying we didn't come to flatter you. I know I'm not well spoken. I know I'm not a good pulpiteer, what they call a pulpiteer. I can't even stay back there. I can't even hardly say it. Amen. But I have been called, amen, to preach the gospel unto them which was lost. Amen. And Paul said, in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's what we should be looking for, is the Holy Ghost moving. That's what I want more than anything. I'd love to have a house full of people in our flesh, and I'd be lying if I didn't say that. Where people come in, they'd leave, Brother Mallory. Woo-wee, did you hear that message this morning? Boy, Brother Jeff gets so deep, don't he? Boy, he really knows his Bible, don't he? Boy, you can tell he really studies. People driving across states like they do to go hear other preachers, and that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of men that I like to go hear. It's got a lot of knowledge in the Word of God, and that's fine and dandy. The Bible said the letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Just because you can quote it, and just because you can lay out a sermon, and just because you can speak it well, that does not mean it's going to come out spiritual. Amen. Thank God for spiritual preaching on the cross. Amen. Amen. You know what happened when Brother Harold Pulliam preached on the cross, and it got in the Spirit, it come out, got a hold of me, it caused me to come and repent and ask God to save me. Amen. And not only did I get saved, but I changed how I lived, turned around, and started heading towards glory. Amen. That's what the preaching of the cross will do for you. How many of you believe there's power in the preaching of the cross? I do. That's what this next verse talks about. And I'm about done. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. There's people that comes in here. They'll hear me get all excited and hoop and holler if you'd have it. and get caught up in the spirit and preach about the cross. Amen. And they'll leave and say, you know, that's just a bunch of foolishness. Amen. It's because they've never experienced the power of it. Amen. Yet the cross has a two-sided fold to it. Brother Mallory, I just want to share a couple things. When I think about the cross, I think about a Savior that suffered and bled and died for me and you. I think about blood that was shed for me and you. I think about a spirit stuck in his side. They crowned him with a thorn. A crown of thorns on his head, and on top of the cross, this is what they said: King of the Jews, mocking him. But thank be to God, even when the devil is trying to mock God's son, God had him to hang a sign up on the cross that told exactly who he was. He was the King. Amen. He was the King. Not only was he the King, he is the King. And he's going to always be the King. But how can the cross have such differences in it? Where when one person looks at it, they see foolishness. And another person looks at it, and they see a power of God. My mind went back to a little story. Years ago, they come out with a little book for kids. And I always think about it around Christmas time. It's called The Trees. If you've never read it, y'all let your kids read it. But said there was three trees standing up on a hill. And that's how a little book starts out. Brother Mallory, and they begin to tell one another what they'd like to happen in their life, just like we do sometime. And one of them said, I hope if they ever cut me down, and I'm sure it's going to happen one day, that they'll make a boat out of me, and I'll be a real famous boat. I'll get to carry some of the most important people that's ever been known to man across the sea. And people are just awed at my majesty and my beauty. And the second said, I hope if they ever cut me down, that they make a treasure chest out of me. And I get to hold rubies and diamonds and all these fancy jewels that people call so precious to them. And that's what I want. I want to be able to hold a treasure that people look at and thinks important enough to lock me up. Amen. That third tree said, that sounds good and dandy, but I wish they'd just leave me alone. I wish they'd just let me stand here up on this hill. And every time somebody looked up at me, they looked toward heaven and made them think about God. Years later, some men come down through the woods and they cut all three trees down. First tree, he wasn't made into no fancy boat. He's made into a little John boat. Brother Darrell, nothing fancy about no John boat, little fishing boat. And the second one, y'all probably already know where I'm going with this. That's all right. If you've heard it, you just hang on for just a minute. Second one was not made into a treasure chest, but they made a feeding trough out of him. Amen. Just a little old trough. It wasn't fit for nothing really. In man's eyes, it's going to put slop in it if you'd have and feed animals with it. And the third one, they cut it down and made lumber out of it. And then years later, Jesus and his disciples got on that little John boat and went across the sea of Galilee, praise the Lord. And that little boat, he said, I did get my dream. I got to carry some of the most important people that was ever known to mankind across the sea. And everybody's going to remember that they did it on this little boat. Amen. He's been preached about many a time. Well, that second one, Brother Mallory, one cold night, when there was no room for them in the inn, and Mary and Joseph was traveling afar to come be counted for their census and pay their taxes,
an angel showed up out in the field. Amen. To shepherds and said, unto you this day in the city of David, a baby has been born, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. It's to say the Messiah's here. Amen. And you know what happened, Brother D.B.? When they didn't have room for him. And then, praise the Lord, they went in there and laid him in a trough. And that tree said, I was able to hold the greatest treasure ever known to man. Charlene, you certainly, when you found Jesus, you didn't find that treasure. You found that treasure. Amen. There's nothing more precious than him. If you can say there is this morning, you ain't got the one I got. Then that last one. One day, there was a cruel trial. People had lied and turned their back on the Lord. They spit upon him. They ridiculed him, made fun of him. Somebody went and got the wood and began to nail a cross together that the Lord was going to carry up Golgotha, Brother Nick. And that tree just didn't know it when they slid him down in the hole of the ground. And people looked up and saw the cross. That's what I'm preaching about this morning's a cross. Amen. It was a symbol of death and shame and suffering. And the Lord had nothing to be ashamed of. And he had never sinned. And he hadn't deserved to die. But because he loved you, he took on our shame and our sins. And humbled himself and died so that you and I could live. Amen. Do you know that's the preaching of the cross? That's why he did it. He did it for you. He did it for me. You'd think it peculiar this morning if I got up here and preached on lethal injection. You'd think it strange if I got up here this morning and preached on the electric chair. But I'm telling you something this morning. There's more to the cross than just a way of killing people. Amen. Amen. And there ain't no foolishness to it unless you just don't see it right. But he said this, to them which don't believe is foolishness. But to us that are saved, this ought to get you excited. If you're saved, you see the power of God in the preaching of the cross. And because through the preaching of the cross, men, women, boys, and girls are saved and changed. They're never the same. That's because the cross. Amen. If you ain't never changed the way you're living, you ain't never got saved. That little statement really got a hold of me this week. Two things. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them. There's a difference between them and us. I'm one of us that's been saved. And them's those that are outside that don't believe in the cross that are perishing. And it's up to us to cause them to see how much power there is in the cross. And he said this. I really want to make sure, Sister Sandra, I know you went around and heard a lot of preaching. You do a lot of this, and I see you as much as any preacher I see going. And the Lord's going to bless you for it. He already has, I know. Just keep on going. One of these young girls going to go again. I believe that. Believe that as sure as I'm preaching. I'm still looking for a husband to come back here. Amen. You heard me. I said here. Not to see anywhere. Here. He likes it here. We like him. Just keep on going. But you know what I don't want to happen? Out of all them men you've heard preaching, I'm one of them. This is the statement that I don't want to be found falling on me. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You want to know why there's not a lot of effective preaching going on today? Because there's a lot of messages coming out in wisdom, but there's not a lot of messages coming out on the cross. Yes, I want to know more about the Bible. Yes, I want to understand. Yes, I want you to understand. But what cannot somebody understand about two pieces of wood and three nails and a man that led you enough to die for you? Amen. I like what a colored man one time was preaching. I like what he said, Brother Reuben Fields. He said, well, Mama used to talk to me. She had talked real plain. And he said, she said, Reuben, I said, yeah, Mama, you need to take the trash out. Y'all heard me say this a few times. I really like to hear him tell it, Brother Mallett. It stirs me every time. And he said, I didn't have to go get no Strong's Concordance. Or no Hebrew dictionary, no Greek dictionary, know what Mama meant. She said, take the trash out. She meant take the trash out. When Jesus said, you must be born again, he meant exactly what he said. And there is power in the cross. To them that believe, to us that are saved, we can see the power in the cross. If you're here today and you say, I just can't believe that. I can't believe that Jesus was God's Son. He came in this world and he let men beat on him and rail upon him. I tell you something else that happened on the cross. A lot of people want to make light of. If you be him, won't you just come down and save yourself like you've saved others? That was the biggest misquoted statement that I can find in all the scripture. Because I'm going to tell you something. The only way he could save the people he was wanting to save was to stay on there and not come down. They missed the whole point. He wasn't trying to save himself. He didn't need to be saved. He's trying to save me and you. And the only way we can be saved is that sin had to be paid for. And it had to be paid for by somebody that God would accept. Amen. There wasn't nobody he'd accept except for his son. And he knew he was going to die on the cross when he came. And I'm going to tell you something. If him dying on the cross don't move you emotionally at all, any, thinking about what he did for you, you might be saved, but you're far away from the Lord. Amen. I ain't saying you got to cry, but there ought to be something down the inside say, he loves me that much that he'd die for me. He loved me that much. A lot of times people will say they killed him. They didn't kill him. The Bible said he freely gave his life. Come on, Brother Nick, y'all get a verse of song. Wouldn't be a bad one to get that old rugged cross again. Maybe be in a different light of view now after we preached on the cross. Listen to this. The devil would love sometimes a song come in my heart. Nick says, anybody got a song in the heart? And there was a song I really thought I might was going to sing. And then I thought, no, I'm just going to wait and see what the Lord does, Nick. So then let's turn over to page 305. Then the Holy Spirit just whispered to me and said, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Don't listen to that old rascal. He's trying to get you off track. And he sang his song. Listen to this. He said, so I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Listen to this part. And exchange it someday for a crown. You know what Jesus said about the cross, Brother D.B.? He said, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. If we're going to follow the Lord, we're going to have to forget about us. And we're going to have to be looking and being focused on where he's headed and what he's doing. And take our cross just like he did. Everybody has a cross. I don't know what yours pertains to, what all you're going to have to go through in life, but the Lord does. But I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord walked up Golgotha and carried his cross, and you hear me, he did it by himself. Yes, there was a man there that they had carried the cross on up, but I'm talking about that man couldn't die for us. That man couldn't do what Jesus did. They had beat him almost to where he is dead before they ever crucified him. That's why he couldn't carry the cross. Brother Matter, he's in such bad shape. But he told us when we carried our cross, you know what he said? He said, I'll go with you all the way. even to the end of the world. You're not going to have to carry a cross that he won't help you bear. Amen. I like that old little poem about footprints in the sand. But a lot of times when I'm looking at the footprints in the sand, he said when it got hard, that one set of footprints is when I was carrying you. I've often thought when I'm trying to carry my cross and the load just gets mighty hard to bear, maybe that's when the Lord takes over and just gets a hold of me and my cross and helps bear it all. Because he's able to do that this morning. I want us to rise our feet this morning. If you feel the need to come and pray, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, now's the time to come. But if you're here today, you say, Brother Jeff, I've been saved. And I thank God for the power of God through the preaching of the cross has changed my life. Now I just want to come and tell the Lord thank you for what he did for me on the cross. Be a good time to come. Come on, Brother Nick, let's sing. Whatever verse song's on your heart. How about it? Lord, have your way, Lord, today.